Ricciardo. This is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Daniel Ricciardo.
You've won the Canadian Grand Prix. Well done, your first win.
Wow.
Hi there, it's Sebastian Vettel. You're listening to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
You've done it in style. Fantastic. You're a four-time world champion. You joined the greats. Well done.
You did it. Yes. Yes.
Can I do donut?
Donuts will not be required. Thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast and to a very unique racing weekend. Whereas the Italian sun lit up Monza 2 weeks ago, here the job is done by 1,600 lights strung out above this challenging track as Formula One goes nocturnal. Run entirely on public roads, Marina Bay is pretty special to drive. Tight and twisty, it's important for drivers to hug the barriers but not get too close. A high downforce anti-clockwise circuit, there are no fewer than 23 corners demanding drivers total concentration. A lap is 5.073 kilometers in length and the race is 61 laps, which is a total distance of 309.316 kilometers. On this edition of the podcast, we're going to hear from Christian Horner. We meet our chief engineer. We talk to a Red Bull V8 supercar driver and we end with an exclusive mix from resident DJ E-Rock. First, let's start with the action-packed race here this weekend. We qualified third with Sebastian and fourth with Daniel on Saturday behind the Mercedes of Hamilton and Rosberg. Then come race day, Rosberg had some electrical problems retiring him from the race. Hamilton took the checkered flag, claiming the lead in the Drivers' Championship with it. Hamilton briefly lost the lead to Sebastian Vettel at his final pit stop, but with fresh tyres, he swept past to take his seventh win. Seb took the second step on the podium and Daniel the third. Here are both our drivers after the race.
There was no point fighting Lewis. I mean, imagine you are driving a Fiat Panda and there's a 911 behind you, so you can try, but obviously overtaking is allowed on both sides, not just on your left, so there was no point trying to hold him back. It was too quick, he had fresh tyres, so I had to focus and just manage those tyres to the end. We obviously got it wrong when Fernando undercut us, and then we tried to mirror him from there with the risk of safety car, which came, so that's great. No, I'm not great at that moment. It's nice to have some cool champagne.
We were really close in quali and we thought on a longer run that should even close up more, so I expected the race pace to be quicker today, to be honest. At the end we showed a bit more pace, but the first stint was not quick enough and we sort of couldn't stay on them, so we'll have to have a look and see. You know, we encountered some other issues today with power and a few other things which made life difficult, but it was what it was in the end. And you know, third is, in terms of points, still a good handful, not a bad evening's work, but would have loved to have been a bit more competitive. You know, Suzuka is another track we can look forward to and be optimistic for, and it's one I've enjoyed a lot in the past and gone fairly well at, so hanging out for 2 weeks time.
The result here means the team took the most points for the Constructors' Championship this weekend. The remaining top 10 was made up of Alonso, Massa, Verne, Perez, Raikkonen, Hülkenberg and Magnussen. As you know, a great deal of engineering goes into each car, both at the track and back at the factory. Katie went to speak to our chief engineer, Pierre Vacher.
Okay, so I'm here with Pierre. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Firstly, can you just explain to us what your role is with the team?
Chief Engineer of Vehicle Performance. I'm responsible for the vehicle dynamic and control of the car.
Okay, so it's quite a big role. And how long have you been with Red Bull Racing?
Close to 1 year and a half.
Okay, and how long did it take to fit in with the team and get up to speed?
The team is very helpful to integrate the new people. It takes me 2-3 months to be ready to do my job. It's not a big difficulty when you are in this business before.
And how many races are you doing with the team throughout the season?
Normally with my current job, I think I will do around 4 or 5 races during the season. Last year I was doing more or less all of them. I think it's a good compromise, 4 or 5, compared to the job I have in the factory.
Okay, and do you get to pick which ones you do?
No, unfortunately not. I have to do the one is the more relevant for my job.
What's a race weekend like when you're not at the race?
The race weekend is for sure the factory job, current factory job, project and concept of the car for next year, current year. And also for sure follow the session that we have to do during the race weekend free practice one, free practice two, until quali.
Okay, so it's a bit harder when it's a different time zone, I guess.
Yeah, it's quite more difficult because you are not fully concentrated on the race weekend. We still have something happen in the factory. Then you have finally two jobs in the same time, and it's quite more difficult for that. When you are on the race weekend, you are clearly more focused on what happened on the track.
Okay, and what's the best thing about Formula One to you?
The best thing is clearly committed to the race, to the sport, and you have a full commitment from everybody from the technical side, I would say, is what you cannot have in the normal industry.
And did you always want to work in Formula One?
No, I was wanted to work in the technical area, mm-hmm. and the best one is Formula One.
And what tip would you give to somebody that's trying to get a job in the sport?
You have two ways of going in this type of job, or passionate for the car, or passionate for the technical aspect of it. The main thing is to be honest with yourself, with what you want to do.
Did you used to watch races when you were younger?
Yes, for sure. I went to France. I'm French, you can hear my accent. I went to Paul Ricard when I was young, and for sure Monaco.
What was your first memory of Formula One?
My first memory is a crash between Prost and Senna. I think it was in Japan. Between both drivers.
And do you have a highlight of this season so far?
The highlight was Melbourne, the podium, with a very difficult pre-season test, and was quite a big achievement for the team after that to see Daniel on the podium.
As always on the podcast, we like to introduce you to other Red Bull athletes from the stable. This weekend, we were joined by Red Bull V8 supercar driver Craig Lowndes. Rich went to have a chat with him earlier this weekend.
So I'm joined by Craig now. Craig, how are you doing? How's your Singapore experience been so far?
Oh, thank you. It's been actually really good. It's nice to be here. I've always passed through Singapore, but never actually stopped off or had a look around the city, and of course, never been to the race. So it's actually... I know street circuits are always challenging for drivers and cars and everything else, but they've done a very good job for the layout and what they've got to use. And of course, first time in a long time I've actually come to a racetrack that I'm not driving or doing anything. I can actually sit and enjoy.
And enjoy it. And as you say, this and Bahrain are the night races. What are the challenges for drivers in night conditions?
You'd almost say that the lighting that they have here and in Bahrain that is very good. I don't know if the drivers really suffer too much in viewing or their sight, but of course, the temperatures are cooler. The look of the cars on track is amazing. Like, it really does. It shows up everything. Obviously, disc glowing, all the stuff that you don't normally see during a day. So it's a very much a spectacle, much bigger spectacle than a daytime race. But it's fun. I think that, by the looks of it, Singaporean people look like more like night people. So I think they're all coming out in their droves and really going to enjoy the action of what F1's going to bring.
I mean, you're coming from V8 supercars. What do you think about the whole debate this year about the V8 versus the V6 turbos? I'm sure you've read about it and you chatted the guys about it. What's your opinions on that?
Oh, I think everyone you talk to back home are disappointed that the Formula One's lost the sound of what it was.
Yeah.
But I think that, it's evolution and technology, and it's got to move forward. I think that, the speed of the cars haven't wavered too much, but of course the noise has. But it's something that we'll all get used to. It's no different to, I suppose, VA supercars. A couple of years ago, there only used to be two manufacturers. Now there's five.
Yeah.
And at the time of the changeover, everyone was such against the change because they were losing what they knew. But of course, now you talk to people, everyone loves it. So it's inevitable. I think VA supercars in a couple of years' time will probably go down the same path when we have to do another next generation change in a car. And whether it becomes a V6 turbo or not, I'm not sure.
All of the fans who follow us on our pages are across all motorsports. So just discussing V8 supercars versus Formula One, what are the challenges of V8 supercar racing?
Well, I suppose for us it's the heat inside the race car. I know that Formula One drivers suffer, but rule of thumb for us is it's about 25 degrees hotter inside a V8 car than it is ambient. So of course, being here at a 30 degree day is probably 55, 60 degrees inside a V8. They're a very heavy car. We're under tired for what they are for size and mass.
Yeah.
So we burn our tires up very quickly. Of course, we have 650 horsepower, but with almost a ton and a half of a race car, it gets along quite well. We're close to 300 kilometres an hour. But in saying all that, it's when you take people for passengers, which I suppose we have the option to do that. It's a beauty that we have. They're very excited about the braking, accelerating, and the cornering, but not necessarily the top speed, because the cars like Formula One are built for speed. They don't feel like they're vibrating apart or doing anything unusual.
Yeah.
So people get used to that side of it very quickly.
And just touching on your season so far, it's been a pretty good season, and you've got a few races left, so can you just give us a quick update?
We just had our first of our Enduro races, Sandown 500. We ended up fourth. car probably wasn't quite as nice as we'd like. Jamie Wincup and Paul Dunbrough, my teammate, obviously he had a fantastic session, a sensational lead throughout the weekend. Had, you know, he was the pace setter, went on to win the race, which was great for him. We're 2 weeks out from obviously going to Bathurst, which is, I classify, the biggest race of the year for us. And you know, we're in good shape. I've got a new teammate in Steve Richards. You know, the guys, we debuted a brand new race car at Sandown, so you know, we've probably, no doubt, you know, had a little teething problems, but we're overcome that. You know, really looking forward to Bathurst. But then we go to the Gold Coast, very much like a, you know, Singapore race, street circuit, concrete walls everywhere. That's our last of our endurance races. Then we've got two remaining races, Phillip Island and then, of course, Homebush. But the beauty about it is we've now moved back second in the championship. So as a team result, we're 1-2 again. And that's something that obviously, you know, I know Roland and everyone in Red Bull Australia are obviously very keen to try and continue that winning way. I'm going to try and put some pressure on Jamie and see where we end up. But, you know, it's fantastic to, you know, to be in the position we're in, and, you know, really looking forward to. This is normally my strong part of the year, is the closing stages. And of course, we've got everything to race for.
That sounds great. I mean, we'll keep a close lookout, and hopefully we can catch up with you in Australia again if we don't see you at another Formula One race.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
At every single race, we have visits from our partners in Formula One. Without them, we couldn't have had the success we've had on the track. Rich went to meet our head of technical partnerships, Al Peasland, to find out more.
So I'm joined now by Al. Al, can you just explain to all the fans what your role in the team is?
Yeah, hi Rich. My role with the team is head of technical partnerships, which essentially means I manage all of the technical sponsors and partners for the team. Companies that provide us technology, services, solutions, rather than just cash, fall into my category.
How's your Singapore experience been so far?
Well, apart from the obvious, hot and humid, it's actually been a really good few days. I arrived here Wednesday evening, which technically is still the morning for us out here, and I've spent most of it with partners and guests. That's really my role at the race. So yeah, it's been good. A bit mixed obviously yesterday in first practice for Seb, but as a, you know, on the whole, it's been pretty good so far.
Just talking about our partners, a lot of behind the scenes action takes place here at the circuit, and to be completely honest, without our partners we wouldn't have had our on-track success. Can you just explain to the fans and give the fans some examples of how they contribute at the races?
Our partners play a crucial role in all areas of the business, particularly when we're at the circuit. And the best example I can give this weekend with our AT&T partnership is, you know, we have a big activation this weekend. They have a lot of guests here, so it makes sense to talk about AT&T.
And it's not only at the race circuits where our partners are heavily involved, especially the technical partners. Back at the factory in Milton Keynes, they have a vital role to play there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our partners play a crucial role in all areas of the business. If you are lucky enough to come on a factory tour and visit the facility, you'll see evidence of the partner activation and activity and support throughout the whole factory, whether it's the CAD software and Siemens providing us the design tools, through to the machine shop where you have companies like DMG Mori and Hexagon Metrology providing all of the equipment we use in there. It's pervasive across the whole business, right through to gymnasium equipment, car polish, and even now thermal cameras from FLIR. So, they're everywhere in the business, and actually, a lot of that is unseen to consumers. It's more about a business-to-business kind of relationship.
From after Singapore, we head off. We've got the last couple of races. Any favourites that you're looking forward to?
This was the first race I ever came to. So Singapore, apart from the heat, which I struggle with, Singapore I have a real affinity to. But actually, one of my favourites is coming up, which will be Brazil. We've won a couple of championships since I've been going to Brazil, which has been quite nice to celebrate. And looking forward to going back there in a few weeks' time.
And the steak's brilliant.
Yeah, well, exactly. You can't fault that. And unfortunately, I'm going to Austin as well this year, where I also hear they do good steak.
So yeah, great property, yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for taking the time out to chat to us, and we'll catch up with you maybe in Brazil.
My pleasure.
Cool, thanks.
Final word from Singapore goes to our team principal, Christian Horner. Lindsay went to speak to him after the race.
Okay, so Christian, a double podium in Singapore. You've got to be pleased with that.
Yeah, no, very pleased. I think that's absolute maximum we could have hoped for. And I think the whole team's done an amazing job. You know, the double pit stop at the first stint, the drivers making that hard tyre last after the safety car, you know, it was a tremendous result.
And how did the race play out for you?
Well, obviously it was a difficult strategic race, because once Fernando had got the upper hand on us on the soft tyre, we put both drivers on the hard tyre to try something different strategically. And then when the safety car came out, the worst possible time, you think, can we get to the end? Can we try and hold position, which we did. And the guys made it work, which was fantastic to see both Red Bull drivers up on the podium.
And when did the decision to do the double pit stop come up?
That came pretty soon on, because both drivers were getting to of trouble with their tyres, so there was enough separation just. We took it, and the boys did their bit, which was fantastic.
And is it a lot more difficult for the boys to manage than doing two stops on different laps?
Much more, because they've got that pressure of knowing that the next car, they can see it when, you know, they're both in the pit lane at the same time. I think it was about 6 seconds separation, and you know, so it focuses the mind a bit.
And then thinking about the drivers in the cars, it must be difficult for them. Is it also tough on the pit wall for you compared to other races?
Yeah, it's massively hot, and it's a long race. 2 hours, hit the limit. So, you know, it's a tough, long race. But incredible to think after the pre-season we had, where we couldn't do 20 minutes of running, that we've done 2 hours with both cars and gotten to the finish at the hardest race of the year.
And looking over the whole weekend, what was your best bit of the weekend?
Seeing both our drivers on the podium. You know, both the guys up there, only one Mercedes ahead of us. So that was a good moment.
And lastly, what's next for you now this evening?
Yeah, I'm going to try and get some sleep, because I got a very early flight to Hong Kong to go and see our colleagues at Infinity, and then I get on another flight this time tomorrow to go back to the UK.
Thank you very much, and we'll speak to you in Japan.
Well, that's it for this Singapore edition of the Infinity Red Bull Racing podcast. Make sure you check out the website and our social channels for more from the team, including a video of what happens 24 hours after an F1 race. Thanks once again to Red Bull Records for some of the tunes this week. We'll leave you with yet another exclusive mix from our resident DJ E-Rock. We'll be back from Korea in 2 weeks' time. Until then, take care.
Mystery unraveling. Speaker box vibrate the tag, make it sound like aluminum cans in a bag. But I know y'all I love the way. It's alright. to just get soaking wet tonight.
Yeah.